Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, I'm Janet Moreno, the Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Just Ask Janet. I have a special treat for you this evening. Previously, Father Pavone and I taped a segment that we were probably going to use for our Defending Life show on EWTN. But this has such a fantastic project that we're involved in, which is called My Heart Beats Just Like Yours. And the products I'm going to talk about, a brochure, a t-shirt, all kinds of things, you can go to our online store at prolifeproducts.org. So let's take a look at this great show that I produced with Father Frank Pavone. Well, joining me today on the program is our national director, Father Frank Pavone. Father, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Janet, and with our viewers.
That's right. Well, before we get into our topic of the day, we always like to start our program with a prayer. And we take it from this beautiful devotional you wrote, Father, called Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. And each one of these, every day, has a beautiful like scripture quote or a quote from a Vatican document, then a reflection and a prayer.
Yes.
So what's for today, Father?
Well, we read from the first letter of John. If anyone is rich in worldly possessions and sees a brother in need, but refuses to open his heart, how can the love of God abide in him? Reflection. Our relationship with God depends on how well we tend to the needs of others. If this applies to the need others have for material possessions, how much more does it apply to the need others have for life itself? God's love cannot survive in us if we turn our backs on the unborn and all whose lives are in danger. Let us pray. Abide with us, Lord, so that we may see those in need and open our hearts to them. Amen.
Amen. And you know, Father, this beautiful devotional is available at the EWTN Religious Catalog. And
that's right.
Really, I encourage all our viewers to make this part of their daily prayer life. Well, Father, you just said the unborn, and of course, the unborn are really being attacked at the very first weeks of their lives.
Yes.
You know, the very first weeks when their heart is just beginning to beat because of the abortion pill and the abortion industry. They try to call it medicine, right? The abortion.
Yeah, they try to make this sound simpler than it is. Even when they use the term abortion pill, they're trying to make it sound like a person can get an abortion. Oh, just it's as easy as taking a pill. Well, it involves pills, as we will discuss,
right.
But it's not easy.
That's right.
It's not easy. It's a chemical regimen, several steps. It's powerful synthetic steroids being placed into the body. And it is a process that leads to all kinds of pain and suffering and the death of the child. And what we're talking about here is referred to as chemical abortion. As you're saying, it's also, the abortion industry likes to call it medical abortion.
Well, because they try to make it sound nice.
Well, it makes it sound like there's a medical justification for
right.
it, but there's not.
There's not.
All they mean by medical abortion is that medicines are used instead of curettes and forceps.
That's right.
Okay. But this is a technique that was unleashed in the 1980s, and it was formally approved under the Clinton administration, or just after the Clinton administration. The Clinton administration pushed for it,
right?
September of the year 2000
wow.
that it formally was approved by the FDA. But I tell you what, I mean, some of the reasons why it took 2 decades for them to get it approved because people know this is the killing of a child.
That's right.
And there's all sorts of medical risks to it as well.
Well, we also know, Father, just so people understand, first of all, the woman goes into the clinic. First of all, they do no exam of her, no background medical information, and yet they will give her the first dose, and she takes it right there in the clinic. They give her a little paper bag. She goes off with the second dose. Now, the first dose, which is a misoprostol, what that does is it starves the baby. Basically.
Yes, that's right. And let's talk about how later in the show we're going to see the baby, by the way.
That's right.
That this process starves. Let's talk for a second in very simple terms about how that happens. Progesterone is a key hormone that nourishes the baby.
That's right.
In pregnancy.
In fact, it's used when doctors are trying to prevent a miscarriage. A woman who's had multiple miscarriages, they use in that first trimester, they give her injections of progesterone.
Yes, exactly, because that helps the baby. Well, there are receptors. There are progesterone receptors in the cells so that the baby can absorb it. But what this misoprostol does is it's like a key that goes into a lock, but it's the wrong key. You know, very often if you have the wrong key, it'll go in. It just won't turn, right?
Right.
So what happens is it's like a false progesterone. It fools the system. The receptors receive it, but then nothing happens, and the real progesterone can't get in.
To the baby.
The baby literally starves.
Starves to death, and then the woman goes home, and within 48 to 72 hours, she has to take the second pill.
The Cytotec.
So she becomes the abortionist, and now what happens is the dead baby, she, like, severe contractions like childbirth, and then she in her own bathroom has that baby and sees the remains of her child, which is traumatic. And we know from the Silent No More Awareness campaign, these women are more traumatized than the surgical abortion because they become the abortionist, so all the guilt is on them. They can't even blame someone else, you know, and their bedroom and bathroom become the abortion clinic.
It's sad.
It is. Well, recently, Father, I had a chance to talk to the president of Heartbeat International, the largest umbrella of pregnancy help centers all over the world, and they have now taken under their wing the abortion reversal program, and they call it now Abortion Pill Rescue. So let's take a look what Jarrell had to say about how they're handling this.
Probably the last 10 years, there really has been nothing that could have been, you know, abortion pill was introduced in 2001, really pushed through by the Clinton administration of the time, and it's slowly been climbing, but it's clear, like, as you mentioned, Janet, that the paradigm has shifted dramatically towards chemical abortion, and we understand by our calculation in 2020, 50% of all abortions in the U.S. were chemical abortions. Now, the interesting dynamic that's happening in the last 10 years or so is that women have taken that first pill, and despite all of the other things that led them to that moment, they suddenly regret it. In fact, one of our abortion pill rescue docs has asked almost every single one of the women that he's helped, and they say they immediately regret it, certainly within the first 24 hours. And if we can get to her, and if we can connect her to life-affirming help, meaning the pro-life docs or any doc that will really prescribe abortion pill reversal, which is just progesterone. Progesterone's been used since the 40s to help sustain pregnancy, help overcome some miscarriage challenges or potential miscarriage challenges. But if we can get to her, and that's what we do, we operate Abortion Pill Rescue Network. We have about almost 40 nurses now that are part of our day and night group that's able to talk to her. There's a abortionpillreversal.com is where she can find us, or she can find the number to call us. And our nurses will take their information, make sure that they want abortion pill reversal, and then connect them to that local provider in their community. And we've been steadily trying to grow that community. It's over 1,000 providers now in our network across the U.S. And of late, actually, the last 3 or 4 years, we've been having a number of international doctors and international entities that have been joining us in this. I think the latest number that we have is 47 countries. We've had people reach out to us, and we've been able to kind of connect them with help in their area, which is a challenge, but it's certainly worth it when we can help her rescue that baby. We've heard those exact same things from women that we've talked to who said, I had to call you because when I called the abortionist back, they said there was nothing I could do. But there is something that can be done, and that's simply introduce progesterone to kind of overwhelm what the work of the RU46 pill, which is actually mifepristone, it's called, overwhelm what it's trying to accomplish. And it's really designed to starve the baby. So if we can get enough progesterone to her quick enough, which is usually within 72 hours, we've seen a success rate nearly 70%. It's from a study that we have, and our numbers are confirming that. And as of this past December, we count about 2,000 babies that have been saved from the midst of an abortion. Now, you know, the pregnancy help work has been really all about helping her make a decision other than abortion. And suddenly, with Abortion Pill Rescue Network, we can actually help her actually in the midst of that abortion. We wish it were 100%, but at the moment, moment, it's we're seeing almost 70% effectiveness rate if we can get to her in that 72 hours. And so it's 2,000 babies and counting. And we actually have seen, I didn't tell you this before, Janet, but we have had record number abortion pill reversal starts in January and in February. And I'm sure it's happening in March as well. That's exactly one of the kind of scare tactics that the other side will throw up. Oh, no, that's not possible. And you're certain to have deformities and whatnot. The truth is, through a study, the largest that's been ever done, we know that the actual occurrence of any kind of birth effects or challenges along the line of things that occur that we learn at birth is actually lower than the general occurrence in the population. So it's certainly not true to say that it increases the chance, and it is true that it actually helps her have a healthier pregnancy, probably because we're using progesterone, and she's getting a powerful supplement of progesterone for her body, which is the key hormone that the woman's body itself produces to sustain that pregnancy. So we're seeing actually better results than what they're seeing in the general population through abortion pill reversal, and it's a powerful tool. It's a powerful thing. If we can get to her in time, we can help her overcome that. And you know, the other thing I learned, Janet, in this process, I had a nurse who was on our hotline tell me this. She was one of those who took an abortion pill and then found the Abortion Pill Rescue Network. This is a number of years ago. And she said to me, but in her case, it was not successful. And in her case, she stopped Jarrell. Let me help you understand that even though it's not successful, what you've actually given that mom is a gift of having the ability to have tried. And that's another thing that the abortion clinics have, when they respond with that kind of cold, no, there's nothing you can do, they're missing an opportunity to help that woman, even make the attempt, and to help her with that, really arm her with that psychological knowledge that she did everything she could. After making one bad decision, she tried to make a good one, and that helps her really wrestle with that healing, internal healing for her, for that abortion decision.
You know, Jarrell, the work they're doing at Heartbeat is just so wonderful, and we have a lot more to say about that when we come back. So stay with us after this break. Welcome back to our program. Well, Father, you know, the abortion pill rescue, actually, we at Priest for Life, Dr. Matt Harrison, our medical advisor, he was actually a pioneer in this, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Somebody came to him who was in the situation. The protocol had not been developed.
Right.
He went into his room. He said, I opened the medical books, but I also started praying.
Praying.
Said,
what am I going to do?
There has to be a way.
Yes.
You know, and as we explained before, in very simple terms, if this mifepristone, which is used in these chemical abortions, is like a false progesterone, Dr. Matt said, well, what if we gave her more of the real progesterone?
Right.
And that ended up being the core
of the protocol.
Because
what it does is it overcompetes with the other.
That's
then,
all. That's
and
right.
And it begins to reverse the process.
Yeah, that's right.
And so basically what he said is, well, gee, most doctors have progesterone in their office because they're treating women, high-risk pregnancies sometimes, and they'll use progesterone.
Yeah.
So he developed the early phase of the protocol. Then he went to Dr. Delgado, a good friend out in California.
He's also one of our Priests for Life medical advisors. So we're proud of the fact that, you know,
we kind of helped.
We've
push
got
this,
an yeah. in on this from the very beginning.
Very beginning.
Because Dr. Matt contacted us when he first went through this case. So now it's been developed into a protocol that, as Jarrell mentioned, you've got 1,000 doctors now on call ready to help with this reversal of the chemical abortion.
And we can ask our viewers now to help us because we need more doctors to know about the protocol and be in this network.
Exactly.
So they have developed a website. It's called aprnworldwide.com. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is tell your doctors to go there, all the information they need to sign up, and then they'll be put in touch with other doctors who are already doing the protocol.
Right.
And then before you know it, bingo, they can get going, and the more doctors, the better.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Lots of babies are being saved, but we could save even more.
Well, you know, and it's really, this whole discussion shows that the callousness of the abortion industry.
Right.
Because you know what's really fueling all this? It's selfishness on the part of the abortions, not just the greed, okay, for more money, more abortions. They're finding it harder and harder to find doctors to do abortions. This has been a problem that they've had for decades. And the reason is the same reason that in the Nazi Holocaust, they changed the method of killing from shooting to the gas chambers.
Right.
Because with the gas chambers, they didn't have to, you know, look at the people that they were shooting. They found an unexpected negative reaction on the part of the people who were doing the killing, that, oh, you know, we, this is too hard to do. And the situation here is the same, because there's been a negative reaction on the part of the personnel of these abortion facilities to dealing with the bodies of the babies that they're killing. And so what are they doing now? They're transferring the burden of dealing with those aborted baby bodies from the abortionist to the mother herself.
That's
like you
right.
said in the earlier segment, she becomes the abortionist, her home becomes the abortion clinic, and she's got to see the pieces of the baby
that's
coming
right.
out of
and
her.
And they're very, very traumatized.
It's traumatized.
And that's what, at Rachel's Vineyard, we're seeing more and more women coming sooner and sooner for hope and healing.
Right.
Well, you know, Father, there's been also some good news regarding this abortion pill rescue, abortion pill reversal program. Of course, we know the pro-aborts are fighting it. But in the states, where the state legislators are very pro-life,
yes,
they're making great advances. And just recently, I sat down with another one of our great pro-life associates, Brad Mattis, from mm-hmm. the Life Issues Institute. And he is very excited to tell us about a new law. So let's take a look at that now.
The Guttmacher Institute, which is very pro-abortion, they were originally founded to be the research arm of Planned Parenthood. They make no secret about their extreme pro-abortion status. Recently, they reported that nearly 400 pieces of pro-life legislation had been introduced during the first 2 months of 2021, 834 to be exact. And that is giving, sending a chill up the spine of these pro-abortion advocates. And it well should, Janet, because this is a nation on the move. This is the grassroots movement at their best, standing up for life, standing up for the majority of Americans who don't support abortion on demand throughout pregnancy. So we're seeing quite a bit of laws being passed, and one in particular is one that I'm very excited about. Now, the first time this piece of legislation was passed was very recently in my home state of Montana, God's country, as I like to refer to it. And it's a model legislation that we think will be repeated in various other states. And what it does is it has huge number of safeguards for women. It's very pro-woman legislation. And one of the things that the pro-aborts want to do, of course, is to make chemical abortion more readily available by mail or telemedicine, not even seeing a doctor. And we have to remember that chemical abortion is four times more dangerous than surgical abortion, and they want to do away with the medical aspects, the medical professionalism entirely. So what this legislation does is it requires that the chemical abortion pill be given in person. And there's a lot of reasons for that, because they can rule out an ectopic pregnancy. Normally, that's in the fallopian tube somewhere outside the uterus, and that can be life-threatening. So it's very important that they diagnose that if that's the case, because the abortion pill won't affect that. They need to establish the blood type so they can administer Rogam if she's Rh negative. My wife was Rh negative, and in order for our first and three other sons to live, she needed that critical injection. It determines the gestational age of the baby. It includes a follow-up visit to monitor the completion of the abortion and the patient's conditions. Because one of the most frequent side effects of this is that the abortion is not completed. And that can turn septic very quickly and put a woman in a life-endangering situation. The law also protects children. It prevents the abortion industry from targeting children. They cannot distribute this pill on any school campus or within any school building. So that's a great thing to see, that children are protected. There's a very large section dedicated to informed consent. And all of this has to be provided 24 hours before the onset of the abortion. And some of this is, well, it's like it was written by pro-lifers. And it was. It's just great, exciting legislation. They have to provide information to the woman about the reversal process that we just spoke about, to the extent of giving the website and 24-hour hotline number for this reversal network.
Well, Father, are you as excited as Brad was? Because he said that our friends at Americans United for Life and other legal groups are going to be introducing this in other states. So we need our viewers to get involved with their state legislatures to say, hey, we want a bill like this in our state.
Well, that's right. Because on the state level, we have a majority of pro-life legislators all across the country.
That's right.
So what we have here is a great opportunity to come back against what the abortion industry is trying to do. Because what they're always trying to do with this chemical abortion, and we see this pattern from the very beginning, from the 1980s and the 1990s, they're always trying to cut corners.
That's right.
They're trying to make this available without the usual safety standards of the FDA. They try to use this method later in pregnancy than it's supposed to be used. They try to cut all sorts of corners to ram through this lust that they have for more and more abortion.
Well, and notice what Brad said about the bill, which I thought was wonderful. They cannot distribute this bill on high school or college campuses.
The pills.
And that's wonderful because that's going to stop. Because as we know, so many of the Planned Parenthoods, they have their fingers and their grasp in the school system.
Yeah, it's terrible. No, but there are lots of pro-life bills being introduced. We need people to be contacting their state legislators.
That's
get to know who your state legislators are in the Assembly and in the Senate or whatever your state calls the different bodies. And stopabortionnow.org, Janet, our action website, will have alerts coming out regularly about
it's time to get involved to promote.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Father, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a question from you, our viewers. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Happy birthday to you.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome back to our program, where we take a question from you, our viewers. Well, Father, as you know, we get a lot of questions every day throughout the year, but this one in particular was coming up very frequently. And a lot of the people are asking, in particular this one lady, Susan, wrote, and she said, please tell me, you know, we all know about ultrasound. I have pictures of my grandchildren when they were in utero with my daughter and this and that. What are there any better pictures of the unborn that we can use to educate even the youngest children? That's what she wants to know.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, if we have brand new images, we're very excited about this. I serve on the board of the Center for Bioethical Reform. And our friend Greg Cunningham has produced now these new images of the unborn child. These are actual pictures, but they're put together by a technology that NASA uses to get pictures of the Earth. And what it does is it processes data in layers and superimposes the layers. It's not a made up picture, it's an actual picture, but all the data is processed in this specialized way. So we're going to show people now these pictures of the baby at 7, 8, 9, and 10 weeks after fertilization.
Wow.
These are fabulous pictures. So let's look at the 7-week baby. Now, this is still an embryo, technically speaking, by terminology. But this baby's heart has already beat over 5.5 million times.
Wow.
And you look at this baby, as people can see right now, this is a baby.
Right.
I mean, there's no question.
No doubt.
Show it to a 4-year-old, you know? I mean,
they'll go,
this is
look,
a baby.
Baby.
Right?
Yes.
So, so this is the baby, still an embryo. So when we talk about, you know, embryo research, or when we talk about, you know, the starving of the embryo,
This is the size of the baby.
We're talking about this baby right here.
Look at all the development.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we go to the 8-week baby, and you see the baby's a little bit bigger, but this baby now the heart has beat over 7 million times.
Wow.
And this baby now, at 8 weeks, is when it begins to be called a fetus.
A fetus, right.
Over a billion specialized cells in this baby's body, where you have just about finished the development of all the major bodily systems.
Wow.
Over 4,000 body parts that are present in the newborn are already present in this baby you see right there at only 8 weeks of development. Now we go to the 9-week baby. Here's the, you see this power. I mean, this imagery, you can zero in on detail that is just not available. It's not available on ultrasound. It's not like that. This is a different technology. This baby can yawn, start sucking her thumb, turn her head, sigh, and I mean, this is the 9-week baby. And then the 10-week baby, you see this image now. And on the 10-week baby, I mean, we're talking about someone whose unique fingerprint has already begun to develop.
Wow.
So, and many other steps of development that we could talk about. But we have this special website, unborn.info. Okay, unborn.info shows the development of the baby in detail, and people can get these very images that they're seeing now.
Well, and you know, Father, our team here at Priest for Life, we were so excited about these images, we've come up with some new products. And the first is a beautiful brochure that has the four images you just described, and it says, and the saying on the outside of the brochure says, "My heart beats just like yours."
Yes.
And in the O, is the image of one of those babies.
Mm-hmm.
And then inside you open it up and you have the four baby pictures you just described and the descriptions you gave about all the physical characteristics. And then we went one step further, Father. We made a t-shirt. And on the t-shirt it says, "My heart beats just like yours." We're going to have buttons, stickers. We're going to make this a whole new campaign.
Yes.
Because as you know, that expression, abortion stops a beating heart, has been around in the movement since I think the 80s. And we decided with these new images, we needed a fresh approach. And that's what we've done. Well, Father, thank you for this wonderful discussion. As always, very lively, full of information. And brothers and sisters, thank you too for joining us on Defending Life. And remember, there are some abortions only you can stop and some lives only you can save. Join us again next week.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.